Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. And here we go on Tuesday. It is Tuesday, the 22nd of August, 2023, the Buckmaster Show. Engineering and producing, John on the other side of the glass. Our radio program will begin its 14th year in January in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The radio station 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, the Buckmaster Show live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. I just don't really want to deal with all this, so I'm going to go and talk with Shelley for a little bit. And then, oh, here he is. Okay. When I say I don't want to deal with it, this is like the last thing in the world. I need Shelley. Hey, Shell, how are you? Yes, I know. Yeah, I was hoping for, as they say, a very easy show today.
Oh, it's never
but
easy.
It's
Murphy
never
lives.
Easy. No, Murphy's Law. Okay, Juan Siscomani joining us. Representative Siscomani, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thank you. I'm just walking out of an Alzheimer's Association meeting, and I'm very impressed with the work you're doing. So sorry for being a minute late.
No problem. No problem. Let's get right at it. We have the presidential primary debate tomorrow night. Let me ask you, what a conviction do you think of Donald Trump, and there are four legal avenues going on. Would that kind of sink his chances among GOP voters?
Well, Bill, first, before I answer that question, just let me, I know we talked and texted, but I want to give you the condolences for Anne, 51
Thank
years
you.
Of marriage.
Thank you.
And the pictures that you posted of her were just wonderful. Her smile, I think, lit up any room.
Yep.
And you were blessed to be able to spend that much time with her. And I know this can be an easy time. So thank you for working this week. And I hope you take some time off and reflect on everything.
But, yeah, I'm going to work. I'm actually going to work. I worked yesterday. I'm working today, and then I'm working on Wednesday. But Ann and I had some time that we were going to take off starting Thursday, and I would be back the day after Labor Day. But now, instead of any kind of vacation, it will be dealing with death certificates and this and that and all the paperwork that goes with the passing of a loved one. And anybody who's had a spouse who's died knows it really kind of gets in the middle of your grief. Here you're having to deal with all these, with banks and credit cards. It can really, really get aggravating.
Well, gosh, you're keeping a great attitude in the middle of it.
Yep.
And she's leaving behind a great legacy that you're going to continue. So thank you for all that you do, Bill.
Thank you.
Well, listen, the debate, I think it's a much-anticipated event. We are having, obviously, a lot of candidates on the Republican side, different backgrounds, different, I think, not maybe different priorities, but different ways of communicating their priorities. And no question regarding all the polling and the energy that you see around this, that the former President Trump continues to be a force in this primary. As you know, he's not participating. That's his choice and part of their strategy, I think. So we'll see. But I'm excited to see tomorrow and see all the candidates really hash it out. You've got former governors, you have senators, of course, you have some on the younger side in their 30s, all the way up to a lot of experience. So it's going to be a good thing to watch.
Is China the big concern, do you think, on the foreign front? So many people are, especially on your side of the aisle, believe that China is the number one threat. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think China is a very significant threat, not in more ways than one. When you look at, obviously, what they're investing in defense, but that's more of the obvious one. When you look at the land they're buying all across Latin America and the role they're playing in those countries, they're coming in bankrolling projects and essentially determining a portion of the direction in these countries. That's worrisome. They've tried to do that here, of course, with farmland. That's a problem. cybersecurity pieces. That's another big issue. Not to mention the what fentanyl is made with, of all this coming from China, being assembled and manufactured in Mexico, but all the product coming from China directly. They've been at this for a long time. They play the long game, and I think I'm afraid that as we are infighting about immediate things, they're thinking long term, and that's a problem.
Let's talk a little bit about your district. You've been in the district now for a couple of weeks. What are the concerns you're hearing?
I've been so happy, Bill, to be back in the district. We had 7 months of back and forth. I spend about an average of a week a month back in the district with weekends, and those weekends are short, though, 36, 48 hours before I jump back on the red eye and go back to Washington. So being back here is great for a lot of reasons. It keeps me engaged. It keeps me informed. It also keeps me married and in touch with the kids. And
yeah.
So it's a good thing to come back home. And I've been touring. We now have five counties in the district, not just two, not just Cochise and Pima, but we have Pinal, Graham, and Greenlee as well. So I've been spending time in rural Arizona and also in our urban areas. And the economy is what I continue to hear back from most people, the cost of living, affordability, and homelessness, crime. These are the things that are really impacting people. The big issues also like water and workforce, a shortage of workforce in whatever industry. I've visited hospitals. I've visited farms. I've, like I said, Alzheimer's Association today. One of the things that I also have done is every week I have a member of my DC office here with me, and they take turns on coming here 1 week each so that they can see the constituents that I'm serving. They can put a face to the name and a face to the issues. It's just a good reminder for our DC team that it's way beyond just policy. It's always about people first. And it's been great to go and catch up with so many friends and meeting new ones as well.
You have a large family. This is kind of difficult on the family, isn't it? This commuting, see them on the weekend.
If I had to rank the thing that is that's been the most challenging this whole time, family's on top of that. I've had to miss events that I had never missed before. Thankfully, I was here for the first day of school. I was able to walk my daughter into her first day of high school as a freshman, all the way to her locker room. I even took a selfie video of it, probably embarrassed her. But that's just what dads do. And it's funny because she's a freshman in high school. I'm a freshman in Congress. So we share freshman stories. And what kids go through in high school now, I may be having an easier time than she is. But it's been tough on Laura, obviously, as well. Six kids at home and with not a lot of help from me during the week can get tough. But it's service. And we're having a great time, and I think that they see it. I actually went to breakfast with one of the kids today with my daughter, the oldest. I do this one-on-one with them when I'm home, and I said, "Hey, what do you think of us doing this?" And she says, "I'm very proud of you, and I know that it's. I wish I could have you home more, but I know that it's that we're all serving." And it is a family sacrifice, and I'm just honored that the family is all on board.
So the session resumes right after Labor Day?
A week after. So we go back on 9/12. So on September 12th, we're going to be back in Washington.
And what's the top of the agenda?
It's going to be spending. It's going to be getting the appropriation bills out of the House. We've done 10 out of committee out of the 12. We've done one out of the House of the 12. So we've got a lot of work to do to meet that September 30th deadline and get our financial house as much in order as we can do this year. There's a big ship to turn around. The country has been in this spending spree for way too long under both Democrat and Republican leadership, to be honest with you, Bill. This hasn't been only a one-sided issue. And now we have this situation in front of us with $33 trillion in debt. And things that we must fund, like defense and homeland security and veterans and other things where we can curb some of the spending. So it's going to be all about the spending in our budget for next year.
Let me ask you one final question. With that deadline looming, is there a possibility of a government shutdown?
Well, unfortunately, that's one of the one of the possibilities. That's not something that I am willing to entertain. And listen, when you have a divided government like the one we have, we all have to be conscious that you're not going to get everything you want in there. We're going to fight with everything we have to get spending under control. And with the Republican majority in the House, that's been our priority. And I'm happy of the progress with the progress that we've made. We're going to continue that. A shutdown would be good for no one.
All right.
Not for our veterans, not for our seniors. So I'll continue to fight for that, Bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Ciscomani. Pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right. Juan Ciscomani joining us on the Buckmaster Show, Tuesday edition, Tuesday at 12:20, every Tuesday at 12:20 at Shelley Fishman. That means Shelley is in studio with me, waiting in the wings and giving me, well, let's just say, the situation on Wall Street, on the markets, let's call it neutral for the moment anyway. But take a break right here. Back with Shelley. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And one thing I would add in the disclaimer, Shelley Fishman is a really nice guy, and he's with me in studio. I know, with me in studio, how are you, sir?
I am well today. How are you doing, Bill?
I've been so public about all of this on social media, yeah. And I'm really glad I have, because a lot of people are reassessing hey, you know, maybe I need to kind of get my affairs in order. Maybe I need to give an extra hug to my loved one.
You know, those are great sentiments to feel, but also to talk about.
Yeah.
I had so many people who just avoided as clients.
Yeah.
So many people who avoided dealing with the unpleasantness
yes.
of doing a will or doing a trust or putting together the package that financial advisors
are always,
you know, are always urging.
They're always
exactly.
urging.
Exactly. And
but
it's
people
so
important. Say, oh, yeah, I'll get around to it. I've got so much on my plate. Maybe I'll look at it after Christmas or after the first of the year.
My advice,
if you can hear my voice within the range of my voice, get it done,
get it
now.
Done. Get it done.
Find out where the title is to the car. Find out where this is. Get all of it written down, Shelley.
Absolutely right. And then make sure that the people who are going to be inheriting or managing mm-hmm. the inheritance
yes.
of what you have copies of everything
yes.
and know where to find it.
Yes.
It's so important.
Oh, boy. Are we still talking about interest rates?
You know, we're talking about interest rates. We're talking about uncertainty. The market over the past 2 weeks has backed off from its highs. There's nothing fundamental that has changed. And therefore, the only thing that you can attribute the backing off is uncertainty.
Right.
And you and Representative Ciscomani were talking a little bit about one of the things that has really worried the financial community and also the credit rating
yeah.
Community, and that's the possibility of a government shutdown.
Right, because the government operates on this calendar year that ends
beginning September 1st.
Yeah,
right.
September 1st.
So,
or no, beginning October 1st.
No, I believe it's, well,
yeah,
I
September shouldn't. 30th.
Okay,
the,
yeah, you're probably right. Okay.
Their fiscal year, yeah.
But what is important to know is that the elements of a compromise, the elements that would make a fiscal deal possible, don't seem to be there, nor do the people who want to make it get better. I mean, the last time we had a shutdown was during the Trump administration. It was a relatively long shutdown. If this happens again,
mm-hmm.
then the cautions that, for instance, Fitch was raising about the viability of, you know, American finances are probably somewhat justified.
Right.
So from the investment community, from the investing community, what you see here is uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
When you take that and you put it together with interest rates, which have been raised very deliberately by the Fed, not just in the United States, but worldwide. You know, the Fed does something, and then the rest of the central banks around the world, mostly to keep parity in the relative values of the currencies against the U.S. dollar, they feel obliged to do the same thing. So interest rates around the world have gone up.
Yes.
As a result, cost of living in things that are interest rate sensitive have gone up. And the thing we're hearing about, and this has been going on now for a couple of weeks, is the interest rates relative to mortgages. Mortgage rates today are 7% and higher. We haven't seen 7% interest rates in, roughly 20 years. What that's caused is a slowdown in the willingness of people who already own homes to sell those homes and move into new ones. Because, you know, you have a fixed rate of 3%. The last thing you want to do is step up to a new, bigger, more expensive house.
At 7%.
At 7%.
Yeah.
So that's a big problem. Housing starts
mm-hmm.
For new houses are mm-hmm. down about 14 or 15% from a year ago. And the scarcity of already existing homes in the market has also gone almost exponentially down. And as a result, what it's doing is it's slowing down the economy, which, of course, what the Fed wants.
They like the fact that the brakes are kind of on, right?
They do. They do. However, the market does not.
No.
The market wants to see people moving. They want to be able to relocate people if they have to. And, you know, companies do that as a regular on a regular basis. So higher interest rates also affect companies borrowing as existing debt is retired. They have to borrow new money, and it's costing more money. So what's happening is that when companies are giving advanced looks at what their finances are going to look like, what their performance is going to be over the next couple of quarters, what we're seeing is and to use a word that you and I have used before, is bifurcated.
Mm-hmm.
What we're seeing is the economy is looking very good.
Yes.
Consumer consumption is up. Wholesale consumption is up.
People are spending money.
People are spending money.
They're traveling.
However, that would normally reflect in higher earnings for us.
Mm-hmm.
But because interest rates are going up, we can't predict higher earnings. And so it's a mixed bag. And investors are listening to that and are just a little bit hesitant to move right now. Today, we're breaking through a little bit. We have the Dow, for several reasons, is down, but the S&P 500 is flat. Mm-hmm. And NASDAQ, which was up significantly yesterday, is up again today. I don't see this as permanent. I think people will get used to it. But you take the uncertainty of a congressional showdown, the uncertainty and the polarization in the political community, which you and I don't normally talk about,
mm-hmm.
but it's there and it's making people feel like the stability of the country is at stake.
Yeah.
And then you take the uncertainty that's caused by inflation, continuing high prices, for instance, for certain foodstuffs. You put that against what's happening with the climate and the amount of money. I mean, FEMA is just about out of money.
I guess so. Can you imagine the amount of money for Maui, for the island of Maui?
Oh, the FEMA. But also up in Washington State, we just had a hurricane and an earthquake.
Plus,
in California?
If you look at the Atlantic, and we'll talk with our climate guy tomorrow, Zach Guido will be with me, there are four hurricanes in the Atlantic Basin.
Right. So even though most rational lawmakers are saying that FEMA is going to get funded in their packages, if those packages don't exist, if the government shuts down, then what does FEMA do? What if we have something that really affects
the whole country? Yeah.
So that kind of uncertainty is never good for the investment community, and that's kind of what's going on.
So are we done with inflation with rate hikes for a while?
I believe we're done with Fed-sponsored rate hikes.
But the trickle-down to others, like the housing community.
Well, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So because these blunt weapons have a delay in their effect into the economy. What's happening, for instance, in the banking community, we had some immediate effects of the high interest rates as a couple of, let's call them marginally managed financial institutions felt those effects very drastically and had to essentially be merged into bigger banks. What we're seeing is the possibility of other banks in these higher rates will now begin to feel the bite of those higher rates. So when the Fed does something like this, it takes a little bit of time for it to trickle, I hate to use the word trickle through the community, through the financial community, but that's going to be there. And we're going to get more headlines, which some people will then, using Schadenfreude, say, see, we told you it was a rotten economy.
Right.
It's not. It's a really very healthy economy. Mm. However, there are sectors of that economy that have some headwinds or are being threatened. And, that's going to make the headlines, and that's going to make the investment community somewhat hesitant to go all out toward, you know, new highs between now and the end of the year.
Boy, if there's ever a time, though, you had to fund things like FEMA with the government perhaps running out of money.
Right.
That's so, not,
you know,
the good
thing. Nevertheless, no. I'm predicting that markets will be up, you know, moderately for the year.
Mm-hmm.
The market performance, even through some very difficult times, has been positive.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of optimism around in terms of what a consumer performance and through the consumer sector and also the industrial sector. Manufacturing is up. So I really think that as an investor, I'm not selling, I'm buying. But what you're seeing is uncertainty, and that's making the investment community a little bit hesitant right now to continue the, you know, near record highs that we saw 2 weeks ago.
Uncertainty makes everybody nervous.
You bet.
I know. All right, Shelley, thank you very much, sir.
You too, Bill. I'll see you right after Labor Day.
Okay, thanks.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They have been very busy the last couple of days. People sensing that the summer monsoon, the summer thunderstorm season may be kind of winding down, so this would be a good time to plant some things that were destroyed by the high winds and hail. So maybe we're going to catch a break here and have some kind of rather mild to moderate weather. Let's put it that way. GreenThingsAZ.com and their sister business, all that wonderful merchandise from Latin America, Europe, and Mexico at ZocaloVillage.com. And they're that, some of the Talavera pottery from Mexico. Speaking of your garden, my goodness, would look so beautiful as planters. For our telephone live line, when we do our telephone interviews, which we will be doing in a moment, that is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. I am so pleased with all of our wonderful sponsors, and they have just been really great in reaching out. They know I'm going through this horrible time, losing my wife of 51 years. People have just been, not only the sponsors, but everybody's just been really, really, really great. All right, Dr. Albrecht Claassen is a renowned scholar of medieval history. Dr. Albrecht Claassen, University of Arizona Distinguished Professor of German Studies. He has published, probably just since I talked to him last, this number's probably gone up, 122 scholarly books, 840 articles, 2,400 book reviews, 10 volumes of poetry, 4 volumes of essays and textbooks, including a handbook of medieval studies. He's won many honors, including the Grand Knight, Commander of the Most Noble Order of the Three Lions, in recognition of his outstanding service to government, to German studies, excuse me. Dr. Claassen is editor-in-chief of the international online journal Humanities. His most recent books include Wisdom from the Middle Ages, The Secret in Medieval Literature, Alternative Worlds in the Middle Ages, Humanities in the 21st Century, The Meaning and Relevance of Medieval and Modern Literature. In the fall of 2022, he spent a semester in Cairo, in Egypt, as a distinguished Fulbright scholar. Dr. Claassen joins us now on our live line. He had car trouble. It can happen to all of us. And luckily, we have the live line. So we have him with us on the live line. Dr. Claassen, how are you?
Thank you very much. At least we can talk via phone. And thank you very much for having me in your program, Bill.
Thank you. Before we talk about, I want to talk to you a little bit about the humanities and many people, there's been efforts, I think, to kind of cut out humanities on different levels. But before we talk about all that, you have a very important announcement to make to the community about you're offering a course that I believe is I want you to tell our listeners about this, because this sounds wonderful, and it's wonderful that you can interact with our listeners.
Thank you so much. That is a fantastic opportunity. So the University of Arizona, specifically the College of Humanities, has been offering for many, many years humanities seminars, which are open to the public for a nominal fee and about 4 or 7 weeks, depending on the course. And they all address basic humanities issues. And in my case, it will be a course on literary masterpieces from the Middle Ages. But those are masterpieces that are normally overlooked. I have dug them out like pearls out of the dung and offer them in our seminar. It will be very nice, loose conversation, both hybrid as well as in person, in the Poetry Center just north of the university, north of Speedway. And we will meet, I think, 5 weeks and discuss really marvelous, very small pieces addressing gender issues, honor, death, grief, happiness, a quest for God. So fundamental issues that matter for all of us until today, but through a medieval lens. So anyone who is in general interested in medieval studies, in literature, but also really particularly literature as a medium to address human concerns. You talked about grief, and we will talk more about that, but that's exactly what literature does. It provides a framework to reflect on those fundamental concerns we as human beings all have.
So, well, and again, where it's at the University of Arizona Poetry Center, and it's a meeting weekly, you said, for 5 weeks?
Yeah, about that. And it's no exams, no quizzes. It is really an invitation to the public just to go back to education and learn more and really enrich their lives by working or listening to lectures or a seminar-style discussion. At this point, we have close to 30 people already signed up, but there is definitely more room for people either online or in person. So it's a very pleasant kind of a conversation class where I will lead the discussion and look at fundamental texts. Let's say, just to lead into our discussion, there's a major woman writer from about 1400, Christine de Pisan, and she is so important for us because she's the first woman who talks about the loss of her husband and how she is grieving over this and how she handled all the emotional stress.
Mm. That does lead, that certainly leads into what I'm about to say. But before I say it, we should say, when does this begin and where can people sign up, please?
Yes, people can sign up when they go just to College of Humanities, the Humanities Seminar. Let me see, I will give you the specifics. This will start in October. I think, when was it? Excuse me for a moment. I'm not quite well prepared.
Don't worry. We'll talk about it at the end of the interview. Yeah. We'll give these specifics. But you set the table up perfectly for me.
Yeah.
And I kind of veered off there, and I should have just said we'll give the details of the event later. But I do want to talk about what you just brought up. Yeah. And everybody knows now, I've been very transparent. I am in the middle of very, very deep grief right now. Yesterday was a good day. Today's a bad day. And I'm real open about this. I have waves of grief. You know, there, for a moment there, I felt kind of normal yesterday. Today, I do not feel normal. And this grief, but you're saying that this is kind of a universal experience.
It is. I mean, we are all people, and we all know that life is limited. We all know and have to deal with that our most beloved people are leaving us behind. We also will go at some point. And it's sort of the fundamental question, how do we deal with this in a constructive way?
Yes.
You know, it's sort of a consolation. How do we cope with that? What does death really mean? This is the ultimate question. What does it mean, really? Why is there death? Why don't we live forever?
Yeah.
You know, it's not possible. We know that. But how do we come to terms with that? And thereby we address immediately one of the central functions of literature in the humanities in general, because we are not in medicine, we're not into architecture or physics, we're into the human soul. That's what poets have addressed throughout times. It's not a perfect solution. It's not a pill we give you, but rather a forum to reflect on your suffering, what it means for you to deal with the loss, and that no loss is really absolute and final, but rather it means something, and it takes you on to another level, because we are human beings, right?
Yeah, and what you just said really caught my ear, that there is no perfect solution, and I was just sharing with John before the show, actually. People have been so wonderful. Don't get me wrong here. I really appreciate everything. And people always say, what can I do for you? And of course, the one thing they can that they can't do for me is have Ann walk in the door and come back. I mean, that's not possible. But what they can do is offer support and strength. But as you said, I caught that. There's no perfect solution, because the perfect solution, no, obviously, would be the loved one back in my life.
That's right, yes. But we are walking through a maze in life. Just 2 years ago, no, 1 year ago, I published a book, Tracing the Trails in Medieval Literature. So I identified the notion of the trail as a central metaphor in life. And we are always called upon to continue that trail. My grandparents walked already. My parents walked. I am walking. Now my son is walking and following me. My granddaughter is following me. So I think the whole notion that this is a long chain of things, and we must accept death as actually a very constructive catalyst that forces us to think very hard about who we are, what our ethics are, and how we can improve our lives and those of other people. So I remember clearly when I lost my parents. At first I was devastated, but when I lost them, my father, that was the last one, I realized suddenly that his death meant for me to pick up the baton and do something with my life and to keep his memory alive, sort of living his own dreams, or rather modeling his dreams into all my own dreams, and thereby establishing a chain of life. That's, this, I think, is the most important function. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Let's pause right here. More with Professor Claussen right after this.
Yep.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. Nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. we grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is The Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. All right, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, only about a three-hour drive. It will be cooler over there. We love Silver City to get away and just chill out, if you will. It's a mile-high elevation, which means it will be cooler. We like to say around 10 degrees at least. For more on what to do, and there are all sorts of outdoor activities, there's hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, and all sorts of things. Also, great places to stay and dine as well. I suggest check out southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now with our conversation with renowned scholar of medieval history. He is a Fulbright scholar. He is a distinguished professor of German studies at the University of Arizona. On and on it goes. This man is the true Renaissance man, Dr. Albrecht Clausen, editor-in-chief of the international online journal Humanities. And I was reflecting, Dr. Clausen, the book called The Bridge of San Luis Rey was written by the American author Thornton Wilder. It was his second novel. It was first published in 1927. To worldwide acclaim. The novel won the Pulitzer Prize in 1928. I often reflect on a line from that book, and I'd like to share it with our listeners. There is a bridge between the living and the dead, and that bridge is love. I love that line, Professor Clausen.
Yeah, absolutely. But we can expand on that. This notion of love is, of course, something that has been discussed since antiquity and throughout the time, Middle Ages and today. But the more critical issue might be the question of what is our honor. Once you have honor, you can also find love. When your love partner passes away, then you have the task of pursuing the path toward honor and dignity. Also, the question of is what makes us happy, and we have discussed that before on the show, and I have mentioned the Roman philosopher Boethius, who is reflecting upon the true sense of happiness, which is not in terms of money or wealth or power, but rather the sense of not needing anything and joining the absolute good, which is a very abstract notion. But it really helps when somebody passes away and you begin to realize I cannot predicate my happiness on any other person as much as you might love that other person. Because if you don't have that inner self, you cannot even love properly. So you need to find it really within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where then the fear of death goes away, because it is first in you, and then you share that with another person. If that person then passes away, as painful as it is, your own love, the source of your love, is still there and feeds you and many other people. So I think there is hope. There is always hope. And you experience this now tremendously, because all kind of outpouring of love by other people and empathy and sympathy and support, all that would not have been possible without Anne's passing away. It's
yes.
The odd thing. Death suddenly creates new love, which you never even thought it was there. It helps suddenly to clear up things in
yeah.
a tremendous way.
Yeah, and I think some of our sessions, we talked about misfortune, that yes, Anne's diagnosis of terminal cancer was certainly misfortune, but there were good things that as I reflect over the past 10 weeks from her first diagnosis, and that's how fast all of this happened, 10 weeks. But I think about there were some really beautiful moments in that 10-week period.
Yeah, and you have how many years of happy marriage?
51, and known each other for 56.
So you have been incredibly lucky. You have been blessed for more than five decades.
Wow.
I think you need to be really thankful. So, see, the problem is that people always focus on the negatives and what they lose, and they forget what they had received.
Yes.
So, you know, this is sort of kind of sad. I had mentioned Boethius before, who faced sudden death by murder, state treason, allegedly, and he was killed. But then philosophy comes and tells him, you forget what you already got. You have a wife who loves you. You have friends who love you. You have a father-in-law who loves you. So now you're losing your life, but don't forget what you have enjoyed already for decades.
Yeah, that's very important to remember. I've got about 3 minutes left, and I do want to circle back because there's been interest in what you were talking about this event. It's a 5-week course, there won't be multiple choice tests or anything like that. It's just to learn things. Can you give us the details, please?
Yes, the details are starting October 31st, November 7th, November 14th, 28th, December 5th, and December 12th. Just to give you an idea of what we are talking about, we begin with an old High German epic poem, Hildebrand's Lied, where the issue is a clash between father and son. And ultimately, they're both are going to kill each other, and the issues involved are tremendous communication, pride, masculinity, greed, lack of empathy, and so forth. So we have a fantastic opportunity to reflect upon that. Or Hartmut von Auer, that will be November 14th, Lord Henry, a man who is going to die, and he finds then finally a young woman willing to give him her life so that he can live, which is just, of course, a little bit fairy tale like. But eventually, when he looks through a hole and sees that woman about to be killed by a doctor for him to live, he realizes his wrong thinking, and he transforms his soul and accepts his mortality, and in that very moment, he gains his life and becomes well again. I mean, it's religious, sure, but the idea behind us that we have a soul, that we are spiritual beings, and we only need to remember that we are spiritual beings, and that's what death really does to you. It reminds you of the true lessons in life.
Now,
the value of love.
What time are these sessions?
They will be in the mornings. I don't quite know the details yet. I think about 10 o'clock in the morning.
And it's at the UA Poetry Center.
Yes.
And there's no admission charge, right?
Well, there is a registration
fee
because, yes, absolutely. But it's compared to what you normally would have to pay, it's really minimal. It's, I think, six sessions, probably about $20 a session. So that's really nothing.
No, that's really nothing. All right. Yeah. We're going to have to wrap it up. Thank you for your insight, as always, Professor.
Thank you.
We'll look forward to, hopefully, we can get you on in the end of September and have you back in studio with us.
When we can reflect more on the meaning of literature and why we really need it so fundamentally, and hence why we need the humanities. And I really speak for all my colleagues, of course. So I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. On behalf of the professor and John, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster, wishing you well.